of those that will believe. Luke, the 18th chapter, if you'd like to turn your Bible there. 18th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning with verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him and glorified God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now notice, his faith didn't save his sight, but his faith saved his soul. Verse 42, Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. I'd like to speak to you on the thought of from blindness to belief. Verse 35, he was blind. He was a certain blind man. This was actually an individual who lived at the time of Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then in John chapter 3, and verse number 5. John chapter 3. Pardon me, John 3 and verse 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because Satan has blinded the eyes of those that are lost, that they cannot see the kingdom of God. They cannot see spiritually. They cannot see or understand spiritual things. Remember, God's a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Can't see the spirit, can't understand the spirit, then how can one see the need of coming to Jesus and being saved? They are blinded, and Satan's trying to keep them blind. The unsaved are spiritually blind. They have blind leaders. Look at Matthew, the 15th chapter, and verse number 14. Matthew 15 and verse number 14. The Bible said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If the blind lead the blind, they cannot be led aright. Blind, they have blind minds. 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And so they cannot be led aright. They cannot think aright because their minds are blinded. They cannot understand the Word of God that brings light. Listen, the only real light we have in this world is the Word of God. And listen, it portrays Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And the church is to be the light of the world and shining forth that light, which is Jesus. That's the task. But those outside of that, they cannot think straight or right because their minds are blinded. And they have blindness of heart. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They cannot love God aright. They cannot receive or accept or understand the love that he has for them. This is the condition that they're in, the condition that Satan is striving to keep them in, and those without Jesus Christ as their Savior are without help and without hope because they're not willing to turn from that condition and turn to Jesus. Many are satisfied and content in being in this condition. They have blind eyes. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. He has blind eyes. They cannot see the truth. They cannot say, listen, we're living in a world that is blind. Did you know that people would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth anytime and any place? And even those that are claiming that they are God's people in this world, a Christianity religion setting forth, bless your heart, they don't present the word because it doesn't mean anything to them. The only thing that they want to do is use Jesus as a front to deceive and to mislead. But they're blinded, they got blind eyes, so that they cannot see the truth. Now, in verse 35 here in Luke, the 18th chapter, once again, verse number 35, it says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Now, he was begging. He sat by the wayside begging. The reason for such a soul poverty is lust. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse number 17. Proverbs 21 and verse number 17. The Bible says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Then in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 4, 2 Timothy 3 and 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What do we have today? A pleasure-seeking world. A pleasure-seeking world. a world that once was wealthy, but now we're in a world that's not wealthy anymore. And it doesn't look like it's ever going to be wealthy anymore. Why is that? Because man's heart is set on, his minds are geared to the pleasures of this world, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. You just look at it. Listen, the great industry that's prospering right now is recreational vehicle industry. And everybody's got to have one. Everybody's got to have the latest. And everybody's got to take it out and sling the mud with it, first one thing to another, or camp out under a tree or beside a stream or something. This country's given over to the fulfilling of the lusts of the flesh. And no one's heart or mind being set on God. Look at Psalm 16. And verse number 11, Psalms chapter 16, or the 16th Psalm, rather, in verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Again, the pleasures of this world are subsiding. But listen, here's pleasure that comes from seeking God and putting him first in our life, giving over to God, letting him open the blind eyes that man may see, and looking to the spiritual world. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. That's eternal, everlasting life. That's the enjoyment of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Where's the joy come from, really, deep down? A person that can really enjoy and relax and have a good night's sleep after having that joy during the daytime. It is the spiritual things of life. It's looking to the Lord. It's lifting up Jesus is exactly what it is. That's where the fullness of joy really is. And when you lay down at night, your conscience doesn't bother you. You're able to relax and sleep and rest. And oh, how we need rest in this day. The hand there are, or in thy, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know what? When we walk with the Lord, we're earning reward to be enjoyed in this life and in the life to come. Eternal reward. And we're warned in 2 John, don't deviate, don't go away from and lose your reward or lose some of your reward. You see, that's where the pleasure forevermore is. It's in the life to come. It's not in this short, miserable life. It's not in dealing with the flesh and the sinful nature that we have to deal with today. It is in Jesus Christ, and it's eternal. That's where the real enjoyment of life's going to be. That's where the real pleasure's going to be. Listen, this life, Job got it right. He said, it's a few days and full of trouble. And brother, tell me your life's not been that way. Oh, we're on the mountaintop, and then here comes the valley. What are we going to do now? We're down in the dump. Then the mountaintop will come again, but never as high as it was, and then you're down again. Is that really a real enjoyment of life? No, that's the misery of life. You see, the real enjoyment of life is that life to come. When a person's eyes that are blinded are open and they can see the kingdom of God, and they can see that Jesus took the need of coming to Jesus, repenting of their sins, and by faith trusting him as Savior. Then when they do that, listen, they follow him in scriptural baptism, New Testament church membership, and give him honor and glory. Now, the real enjoyment of life to come is where the joy of living really is. There's not real joy in living here. Those who say, I'm really happy, I'm content, I'm going wonderful, wait a couple of days. Yeah, that's what sin does. And the only way to deal with sin is to not is take the blinders off that Satan have on the eyes and looking to Jesus, the light of the world, and let him guide and direct our paths. Because listen, the reason for this blindness bringing poverty in our life is the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh. Also laziness. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse number 21. Proverbs 23. Proverb and verse number 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Laziness, not willing to work, not willing to sacrifice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let's stay busy and continue on in humility and understanding. Then in Ephesians 5 and verse number 14. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Quit being so lazy. Quit being slothful. Quit slumbering along. But get up and get at it. Because listen, it is worth sacrificing self for the sake of Jesus. Because he made a far greater sacrifice than any of us will ever make, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The reason for the soul poverty is, to a great extent, because of laziness. The realization of such soul poverty. Did you know that it's difficult? It is impossible to be poor, or it is possible to be poor and not know it. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 17. To the church at Laodicea, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's possible to be in poverty and not know it. It's possible. But listen, understand this. We're talking about soul poverty. We're talking about in poverty spiritually. And we're talking about losing this life. That's right. Because all of us are going to face the life to come in eternity. And when we do, then we'll recognize and understand the loss that we have. Might not do it here. But one day we will. How do we learn about this soul poverty? By the scripture. Look at Psalms 119 and 130. Psalms 119. And verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The word of God will reveal the poverty-stricken condition that we're in. It's by the Spirit of God. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 5 through 8. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the word, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, next verse. Notice what the next verse says. Do you have this in your life? I don't care if you've been a member of this church all your life. I don't care if you've been in church all of your life. Listen to what it says. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You have that experience? I don't know about you. I do by the grace of God. But I didn't have it until I repented of my sins and by faith trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I tried to have that experience. I tried to be right with God. I tried to appease God on my own. Never worked. But when I got saved, there was something within me that welled up. It was present there. And it went. And then I'd be in service, and it'd be preaching or singing, and all of a sudden, there it was again. That's that spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Do you have that witness? If you don't, you need to get saved. If you don't, you're blind. You're blind mentally, you're blind physically, and you're blind spiritually. Because listen, this life is not about the physical, it's all about the spiritual. Because one day, everyone's going to spend eternity. And where one spends eternity depends on whether or not they're willing to let God lift the blindness that they have, that Satan has brought upon them, and bring them to a place of knowledge and understanding, a place of sight where they can see. See what? The kingdom of God. See how you get in the kingdom through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. Acts 4 and 12. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, if Satan's blinded your eyes, it's time you woke. It's time you heard the word. It's time you understood. John 14 and 6, he said, I am the way. Only one way to come out of that blindness and that darkness. Same way this blind man come out of it, was looking to Jesus. He was blind physically and spiritually. And God gave him light spiritually and then physically. He still can do the same today. But that man had to be willing. He was seeking after Jesus. When he heard about him, he was willing to come to him. What do you think preaching is for? Getting you to come to Jesus Christ. To come into that light. Out of that darkness and open your blind eyes so that you can not only see physically, but you can, especially you can see spiritually. What difference does it make if you're blind in this condition today, physically? Because one day if you've come to Jesus and come into that light and you've seen that kingdom and entered in, then brother, listen, eternally you'll see forevermore. This life is just a few days and full of trouble. That's all it is. Listen. The scripture is that which convicts and brings one to Jesus. This blind man in verse 36, he heard. And hearing the multitude, it says. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, Romans chapter 10 And verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. We're saved by grace through faith. We're brought to the light. Our blindness is dispelled by faith. And how do we receive that faith? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That faith comes by hearing the word of God. How's that happen? It's that word that will lead you to Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father but by him. That's our message, brethren. That's our message, church. We need to be shouting it from the rooftops. I've been thinking about a lot lately. Listen, Lamarckism is going away. And when Lamarckism goes away among Baptists, the rest of so-called Christianity doesn't have any hope. You don't think we're losing it? I hear about churches all the time over this country going out of existence. Yeah. You know why this country got as great as it was? Because it was a safe haven for a bunch of scriptural New Testament churches throughout the continent.
That's right.
There was a time when there was a Landmark Missionary Baptist Church in every little town and big town in the entire state of Oregon. Where are they today? Where are they? Satan's got us blind. The only way to come out of that blindness is to hear the word of God. Look at John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Had received their sight spiritually. And shall not come into condemnation, shall not be blinded ever again. But is right now passed from death unto life. How long does it take to get saved? Instantly. Right now. If you'll just turn and trust him. What is this turning? That's repentance. Jesus came preaching it. John the Baptist came preparing a people for the Lord, preaching repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Brother, if you repent today, you can see the kingdom and enter into that kingdom through Jesus. When he heard, conviction struck, and he hurried immediately. Immediately. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lost and saved alike. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. What are you going to learn of him? You're going to see the light because he's the light. You're going to learn from that light, that ability to see. To see what? See spiritual things. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you have it. From blindness to belief, the opportunity is there. So, well, I've been saved by the grace of God. I experience that spirit bearing witness of my spirit. Glory to God. But there was a fella called, was it Enoch? Walk with God? And was not, now, where are you in walking with God? Are you slipping back into that blindness? Or are you staying in the Word and on your knees? And are you boldly going forth and inviting people to come to church? You're boldly going forth, presenting Jesus to them. Are you boldly going forth, making known in this world as you go that God is still on the throne? He is alive. He's not dead like the scholars say that he is. He is alive. And brother, he's going to live forever because he is God. When's the last time you just walked up to somebody and started talking to them about the Lord? We can walk up and talk to them about any famous ball player or whichever kind of ball it is or whatever any day of the week. We can talk about hunting, fishing, and first one thing to another. We can talk about books that we read and all of this. Listen, go up to somebody, talk to them about Jesus. And if you live the life and standard of righteousness in your life, tell them you remember the Landmark Missionary Baptist Church out on South 40th and Springfield. But if you're not, don't tell them. Yeah. Why not? Because you've gone back to walking in darkness. And darkness doesn't help anyone. If you're here this morning, Jesus promised, if you'd repent, he'd give you everlasting life. If you'd turn from self and sin and whatever it is you're using to try to make it right with God, leave it off completely and turn to him wholeheartedly and trust in what he did, he promised to give you eternal life. And with that, as this blind man received eternal life, he also then received his sight physically. Let's stand. Whatever the need is, won't you come? What number shall we sing, brother?
402.
The Spirit of God tugs at your heart. If it comes to your mind, you need to be in the altar praying. Why don't you come? If it comes into your mind, you need to make an altar where you're at and pray. Why don't you do it? Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. I hope you'll heed the word. You'll draw an eye unto him. And if you will, there are pleasures forevermore. As I look to the Lord in dismissal prayer at this time. Brother Spencer, conclude our service.